Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify you for everything that you're doing in our midst. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And we thank you that we'll fulfill that plan. We'll fulfill that purpose. But we thank you this morning as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us that are here in this room and each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you, Father, to help us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear, that springs forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own ability, but we come in your strength and your power and your might and your ability that you be lifted up. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But we thank you most of all for the anointing of God that's present in this place, an anointing of God that's flowing even among the people watching online. And we thank you that if anyone is in this room or anyone that's watching us that is going through any kind of situation, whether it be physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, whatever it might be, we thank you that that anointing of God will minister to them right now. That anointing of God will touch them. That anointing of God will change them in an instant. And we thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, we just want to let you know it's always our pleasure, you know, to be able to minister to you on this fine Sunday morning. And you guys that are watching online, you know, sometimes us here in this room, we don't realize that we have as many people online as we have in this building. You know, and thank you for joining with us. And we know God has a plan for you. And we know that God wants to minister to you. Amen. So I just want to say a few things. I always like to give you an update on our weekly podcast. Our current guest, we actually had one episode on Thursday. And then next week, we interview Pastor Rick Burke. Rick Burke actually is the pastor of Cedar Point Church in Claremore, Oklahoma, right up the road. He graduate from Rhema. He actually worked in the mailroom. I got a chance to work with him a number of years ago as a kid, and God's just doing wonderful things. I mean, you know, it's just amazing what God has done in his life. And so we kind of talked about his testimony this last program. Next program, we talk about tests and trials. You know, how many have ever had tests and trials? Amen. We talk about tests and trials and how God will get us through those tests and trials. But actually this morning, I'm going to minister on something that I shared, I guess, last week or so on the podcast. Now, a lot of times the way that we do podcasts, sometimes that I've had things rolling around in my heart, sometimes I get a minister to them about them at church, and sometimes I haven't got to that point yet. But I've just been doing a lot of study about certain things, and Acts chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to read from the New King James Version. And the title of my message this morning is Giving What You Have. Giving What You Have. We're going to read a story from Acts. I shouldn't say it's a story. It's not a story. We're going to read an account of something that happened in Acts chapter 3. And we're going to go ahead and read it first in context. And then we're going to go back and look at it, because sometimes, you know, what we do is we read the Bible, we hear about someone getting healed, someone getting set free, we clap about it, and then we go on. But there's many things that happen in this situation that we can learn from. Acts chapter 3, starting with verse number 1 from the New King James, says this: Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms? And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know, many times, like I said, we read this story and, you know, we're, well, thank God that guy got healed. Well, it's more than getting healed. I mean, the guy's life got changed. But, you know, it is interesting, Peter and John, they weren't having a meeting. See, a lot of people think, okay, well, these disciples, they were having a meeting and all people were coming and God performed great things. Peter and John were going to church to pray. I want you to get that. They weren't having a meeting. I mean, if the guy didn't show up and that didn't happen, they would have went, they would have had a prayer time, and then they would have left the temple, and that's what would have happened. Just like tonight, you're going to come to the church to pray, you know, but on your way, doing whatever you're doing in life, we need to be, you know, not, we need to understand that there are people that are hurting and they need help. Now, my grandfather always said that he never prayed, "God bless me." But every morning he would pray, "God, make me a blessing to somebody." Now, it is interesting. So they were there. They were just walking to the temple. You know, like they've done many times, they were going to a prayer meeting. You know, many of us have gone to a prayer meeting. But on their way to that prayer meeting, they ran into a man that was laid up there. And, you know, here's the thing is they said, I mean, if we read here, it says, and a certain layman from his mother's womb was carried, and whom they laid daily at the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, notice that word daily, all right? Daily. So I believe that Peter and John had probably went to the temple before. So they have probably passed this man before. And I bet you, because what the guy did is, you know, I mean, he didn't have a way to make any money. So what he did was he asked people, "Hey guys, can you help me out?" I mean, we see people like that all the time. You know, like, "Guys, can you help me out?" Sometimes they might be real. Sometimes they might be con artists. I don't know. But the thing about, there are people that are hurting and need help. Now, it is interesting that, you know, he's been there for many years. I don't know how long. I don't know how old he was. But it says, from the day he was born, he never walked. And they brought him daily. I don't know what point in time that you know, I don't know if he went to school first, and then after he graduated, then he started being laid at the temple. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I know that he'd been there many times, and many people have passed him. I'm sure some of the other disciples probably walked by as well. You know, and it's just amazing. Sometimes we as Christians, we're not paying attention to the people around about us. Now, it's hard to be a blessing to somebody that you don't see. It's hard to be a blessing to somebody that you don't hear their cry. You know, and I'm probably more guilty than most. You know, I'm just being honest. We live in a day and age that half the time we're not even paying attention to what's going on because we're paying more attention to our cell phone, what's going on in the virtual world than what's really going on in the natural world. Sometimes we walk by people hurting every day and we don't even realize it because we're not paying attention. Because, you know, well, I'll get to this point in a minute, but Peter and John, when they were going into the temple, it says that, I'm going to skip over to the New Living Translation. It was verse 3, says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked him for some money. So notice that this man did not ask Peter and John to get healed. That wasn't what he was expecting. He asked him, hey guys, can you help me out? Now, it's pretty obvious. Now I do know that sometimes that we wonder if these people, you know, are real or not, the people that ask for money, you know, if they really need it or they're just there because a lot of people are around and they hang out some certain places. Now, we all know if you're here in the Tulsa Broken Arrow area and you want to ask money from people, the best place to go is 169 and 71st. Because there's always people there. Anyone ever seen anybody there asking for money or whatever? Another good place to go is at Walmart. I see people outside Walmart or whatever. But, you know, it was pretty obvious that this guy had needed some help. Now, you know, a lot of times it's really obvious to see someone needs physical help. What's not always obvious is to see somebody needs some spiritual help. But you know what? There are people that need something every day that we have and we can provide. You know, because when this man asked for money, you know, going to the King James, it says the word alms, the New Living says money. It says, verse 4 says, Peter and John looked at him intently. All right? And so the New King James said, fixing his eyes on him. You know, in order for us to help somebody, we got to look at them. We have to see what they're going through. And like I said, so many times we're too busy not seeing what we're going through. In fact, so many times, you know, this whole Christian thing, this whole God bless me thing is more about you being blessed than you being a blessing. Now, I'm not saying that you live your life, you know, just saying, well, God bless me, God bless me. Well, I guess unless you sneeze. Every time, if you ever sneeze, someone always says, God bless you. I don't know why. I do know why. I looked it up in Google, but I'm not going to go over there right now. But I mean, you know, really, a lot of us are selfish Christians. It's really about what can God do for me? What can God do for my family? And you know, the thing about it is, it's not just about what God can do for you and your family. It's about what can God use you to do for others? You know, and because some of us know so much and we do so little. We know so much and we do so little. Now you know, obviously we talk about being a doer of the word and you know, going out and being a light to the nation. Didn't you enjoy, you know, seeing and hearing about what Rhema Bible Church did for these kids that are hurting, these kids that need somebody just to give them what they have? You know, I mean, you know, really, when we look at this, we think, well, you know, that's a big thing for this guy to get healed. But, you know, there are so many things that we have on the inside that we can provide to people who are hurting. You know, the model of this church is bringing hope, help, and healing to the world. The question is, are you doing that? Because, you know, it's not about me. It's not about the pastoral staff, you know, providing hope, help, and healing to the world. It's about you, the church. Now, the way that we, the churches, provide hope, help, and healing is we go out and be a blessing to people. You know, sometimes you don't ever know. Sometimes just saying hi to somebody is a blessing. I mean, we've just gone through a situation where we basically, people had no physical contact. A lot of times, you know, people, it was like, you know, it kind of reminded me of first grade. Anybody remember first grade? Okay, let me ask, how many of you went to school? I remember first grade, maybe second grade, maybe we're still doing these things in third grade. We used to play this game and somebody had cooties. Anybody play the cooties game? Someone had cooties, and if that person touched you, you would get cooties. Well, that reminds me of 2020. the year of the cooties. It's like, you know what? I'm going to avoid everybody. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to look at anybody. I don't want to be around anyone. You know, I don't want to smell their breath. That, and obviously, because, you know, they could have that COVID thing. I mean, I just, you know, 2020 was a year of isolation. Do you realize that more people, you know, went through depression, you know, because it felt like, I mean, think about these nursing homes that over a year they were not allowed to have visits from their family. And the only thing they might have got was a phone call. You know, people are hurting. People need fellowship. And so sometimes just looking at somebody and smiling and saying hi and to tell them God loves them is life changing. Is life changing. You know, I talked to someone the other day and said, Craig, you don't realize the amount of times that I had thought about killing myself because I didn't think that nobody cared. You know, and I actually had a chance to minister to this person and just shared that God cared and God loved them and that we care about them. And he said, they told me that I'm probably here today because you actually, when I didn't think anybody cared, you shared how much you cared and how much God cared. And it, you know, we don't always know what people are going through. Now, it was pretty obvious that this man, that, you know, what he was going through, but sometimes we need to start looking intently at the world, at people who are hurting. And then, you know, Peter says this, I mean, you know, New Living says, but Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. You know, or he says in the King James, such as I have, give I thee. You know, so shouldn't we give people what we have? Now, some people, you know what? It's easier to give people money than give people what you have. Do you realize a lot of people, you don't have time to mess with this person in your own mind? So I'm just here's 10 bucks. Go away. You know, because I was talking to somebody yesterday, and this guy, we were talking about some kind of networking thing, and he goes, you know what, I just don't do people. I'll talk to people on the phone, but, you know, because these guys are real big on networking on the phone and online and things like that, but when it comes to real, he goes, because people take up time, and, you know, they have their problems or whatever, but that's what we're here for as Christians, to be a light to the world. But first of all, before you can give what you have, you know, you have to know what you have to give. What do you have to give? Now, that's when it comes to reading the word. You know, whenever you get a toy, a car, anything you get, there's an instruction manual. And you know, some of these new cars, I know that sometimes we don't even know everything our car will do unless we, you know, just dive into the instruction manual. I know Dad just said he doesn't know everything his car will do. You know, I mean, I actually found out the other day about, I was having trouble figuring out, and I was changing the windshield wiper. And I was like, I couldn't get it out. And then I said, I got to move it to the one place. And I finally figured out how to do that. And I had to go in, I had to do this, do that button, do the other button. And then I watched a YouTube video and the guy says, well, you can do all that or you can just do this. And they like press the windshield wiper thing in a certain way and it like popped up and you can change the windshield wipers. I'm like, well, I could do it the hard way or I could do it the easy way. You know, but you know what? Until I started to research on what I could do, I didn't know what I had. I didn't know, you know, anything about it. But what I have is I have the greater one on the inside of me. I have the true living God on the inside of me. I have the life giver on the inside of me. I have the healer on the inside of me. I have the one who cares on the inside of me. I have that love of Jesus Christ shed abroad in my heart. That's what I have. And I have something that somebody needs. But it's not just about me, the minister. It's about us, the church, going out and being a light to the nation, a light to who we have an opportunity to minister to. But we have to pay attention to who's there. Because how many times did Peter and John probably pass this man and did not pay attention? They didn't care. Maybe they gave him some money. I don't know. But thank God for this one time where Peter intently looked upon this man and said, "Sir, I don't got no money, but I'm going to give you what I have." You know, and I was thinking about this. What do I have? You know, and we talked about some things, but I want to go to Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And it says this: "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you." All right? "And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." Now, two places in here it says that the Spirit of the living God lives in me. Now, many of you have read this scripture, and I tell you, this is the "I'm tired" scripture, and I need to wake up. All right, but this scripture says the Spirit of God that raises people from the dead dwells in you. The dead raising spirit dwells in you. It's more than waking up in the morning time. This is not a coffee alternative. Well, I could have caffeine, or I could just thank God for the spirit that wakes me up in the morning. And that's how most Christians think about that scripture. But you don't read, this is telling you that the same spirit that was with Jesus Christ of Nazareth dwells in you because you're a minister? No. Because you're a Christian. Because you've been born again. Now, this same spirit not only, you know, raised Jesus from the dead, this same spirit was with him wherever he was and whatever he did, and all the miracles he did. The reason he did it was because the Spirit of the living God. And that's the same spirit that dwells in you. So don't tell me you don't have anything. You might not have money. You might not have silver and gold or but what you have is you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you. Now, I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, so what did Jesus do with the Spirit of the living God on the inside of him? Well, we read about that in Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38 says, and I'm going to go ahead and read it so we can get through this, says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." What do you do with that spirit? It says, "Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Now, so we have that same spirit that dwelled with him. So we have the Holy Spirit and power dwelling with us. And what are we doing with that same spirit? Are we singing a song, "The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you"? What good's that? You know, the reason you sing a song about it, I know that's an old song, you know, maybe you haven't sung that in years. But we sing a song about it, so we got to realize what we have. Because you can't give what you have if you don't realize what you have. First of all, you have to come to the realization is that I have something on the inside of me that somebody needs. You know, and what happens is we look at a story like this and we're thinking, but you know, God can't use me to perform a miracle. Why not? But you know what? We shouldn't be thinking about miracles. We should be thinking about just being a blessing, because the first thing that Jesus did with his spirit is it says he went around doing good. Not doing harm. Not trashing people on Facebook. Not arguing with everybody. He went around doing good. You know, I read it over and over and over and over again, and I'm thinking, how many Christians are actually doing good? I mean, I don't mean doing good like you're feeling good or whatever. I mean, are you going out and touching your world? Because you know what? You're not going to touch the world unless you touch the world around about you. You know, just being nice to your neighbors, being nice to your coworkers. You know, not going to work tomorrow morning says, "Oh, it's another blue Monday." But going to work tomorrow to say, you know what? I'm so excited about what's on the inside of me, because I think the reason that people don't want to become a Christian is because they don't see them having anything else that they have. They look, they act the same. They don't act like they have something on the inside. Because you know what? As I watch all the superheroes movies or whatever, I'm thinking, you know what? I have the greatest superhero on the inside. It is not a shirt that just says Superman. I have the Superman. I have the power of the living God dwelling on inside of me. And the only reason that I don't let it out is because I don't let it out. I don't let it out. I decide to see, I'm going to hug it for myself and for my family, and God bless me and my family. Maybe a few of my friends, I'm going to let you bless them too. But you know, it's all about us. No, it's all about the world. It's not about you. It's about the world. And it's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ministering to the world. You know, Paul says that I don't know anything except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because see, many people are thinking, how can I perform a miracle? It's not about you performing a miracle. It's like you let the living Jesus that's on the inside, you unleash that to the world. How do you do that? You just be a doer of God's word. The Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they might recover. No, it says they shall recover. It doesn't give them a choice whether they recover or not. It says they shall recover. You know why? Because you believe that. I believe that every person that I come in contact with, their life will change if they accept it. Because I have something. But it's not just something that I have, it's something that you have. Because you know what? Peter and John, the reason that they had something is because they spent time with Jesus. Now many people say, well, they were disciples. Well, so are you. You're a disciple. You're a disciple of Jesus. And the more you spend time with Jesus, the more you realize what you have, that you can give what you have to somebody else. But first of all, you gotta pay attention to them. We walk through this world all the time. There's people hurting. You know what? And if you don't know what else you can do, if you don't know, you know, how to minister to them for whatever reason, bring them to church. Say, you know that place that has Christmas lights? They also share the love of Jesus, and I'd like you to come. And one of the best ways I found out, you know, you say, well, people don't want to come to church. Okay, we'll say, okay, if you'll come to church, I'll buy you lunch. And where you pick. They're like, man, that's an offer most people can't refuse. I tell you what, if it's a single young man, he'll probably definitely take a free lunch. You know, I said, well, that might cost a little bit. You know what? It might cost a little bit, but it might save someone's life. It might change someone's life. Because you know what? Because Peter and John were willing to give what they had, this man's life was changed. I mean, he went from being laid daily by the temple to walking and leaping and praising God in an instant, because God can suddenly move in ways that we never could even ask or think. I mean, I don't know how God can do it, but it's not about me knowing how. It's about me just giving what I have. And what I have is I have the greater one on the inside of me, and it's time to unleash what you have. But first of all, you know, you got to be willing. First, you have to acknowledge the world, acknowledge people are hurting, and then secondly, you gotta let God be God. And it's not about you, it's about, you know, it's not about who you are, it's about who you are in Christ. Because as we go back to the third chapter of Acts, well, actually, you know what, before we get there, let's go to Ephesians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1, New Living says this: imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Now, you know, the Bible says if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Everything that Jesus did, he was imitating God. And you know, we learn, you know, here to imitate God in Ephesians. Paul told the church at Ephesus that we should be imitators of God or an imitator of Christ. It doesn't say that we should be a follower, should be an imitator. Well, what did Christ do? Is he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, I mean, that's what Jesus did. And we're supposed to imitate that. Well, how can I do that? You can do that because the greater one lives on the inside of you. Another scripture here, 1 Corinthians 11:1, New King James says this, imitate me, Paul talking once again, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So you know what? We should be imitators. We should be doing the works of Jesus. And you know what? I say it every time I minister. There is a lost and dying and hurting world looking for somebody that will look intently on them and just help out. You know, and here's the thing, Peter and John, they didn't have any money, because many people say, well, you know, if I had more money, I could be a blessing to people. So maybe what I need to do is I need to get more blessed myself than I can give. You know what? If you're not willing to give what you have, you're not going to give what you're going to get. You got to start with what you have. And what you have is you have the dead, raising spirit of the living God that changes life, that changes circumstances, and that dwells in you. You know, and you're just worried about it quickening your mortal body. I mean, you know, I mean, you're so selfish. And I say you, I'm talking about we. I mean, I say you, I mean Christians in general. We're selfish. We've all done that. You know, but we need to change the way we think. Anyway, so he says, I don't have any money. I'm going down verse 6. Peter said, New Living Translation, I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. See, what he gave him was he gave him the name of Jesus. Everything that we do, it's in the name of Jesus. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus. And if you don't know how powerful that name is, we got two books in the bookstore. One of them is called In the Name of Jesus, or The Name of Jesus, by my grandfather. And then Dad has a book, says Jesus, the name above all names. Both of them talk about the name of Jesus. And you know what? You can't give him the name of Jesus if you don't know what powerful thing that is. But see, Peter and John weren't saying in the name of Peter and John. It wasn't about them. Just like it's not about you. What it was about is in the name of Jesus. See, they invoke what they had, what we have the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, Peter told the man to rise and walk. But not only did he tell the man to rise and walk, he reached down and grabbed his hand. And he pulled him up. What happened next? Well, the power of God hit that man. If you're willing, see, first of all, we have to recognize people. Secondly, we have to know what we have. And then thirdly, we got to be willing to give what we have. And I want to talk about, you know, this is not the $1,000 faith vow offering, you know, scripture time. Giving what you have is you give them the name of Jesus. All right? You know, there's an old saying, some people will say, well, give them hell. No, you give them heaven. You need to give people heaven. And see, the name of Jesus will change people. The name of Jesus will change nations. The name of Jesus will everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he picked him up. He picked him up. And the man started walking and leaping and praising God. Well, what did they do next? You realize that people think that they started a meeting right there. No, it says they went into the temple and prayed. They all walked together in the temple. I mean, think about that moment. If you were that guy who had been there late in the temple, I mean, I don't, you know, every day he laid outside the temple, and then one day he gets to walk in. He gets to walk in. I mean, think how exciting that is to be able to walk in. The guy had never been able to walk one day in his life. And because some person was willing to give what they have, it changed that man's life. I mean, And then see, what happens is when people's lives get changed, they started giving a thing called a testimony. And then that testimony, you know, other people said, well, who is this Jesus? And it changes their life, and it just magnifies over and over and over again. You know, and we don't realize how one little thing. You know, I get it. This is a guy who walked. But you know what? You don't realize that one little, being nice to somebody could change their life, and you don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the future. I mean, what God's plan is for that person. You know, but don't be a selfish Christian. Pay attention to the people around about us. You know, I was kind of weeping this morning thinking, you know, I know so much, but I probably do so little. And I've had many people, people heal, people set free, I've seen miracles, but you know what? You know, I know so much. I have so much, but you know what? I've heard my grandfather talk about so many Christians, we're just spiritually fat, we're just taking all the stuff in, and we're not ever giving out. We're not ever being a doer of the word, which is something I always pray for every day to help us be doers of the word. So anyway, verse number 9 says, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized it was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And so, you know, I guess because it said that they went to the temple, so it sounds like they went and prayed and they came back out. When they came back out, they started talking about, why are you guys so amazed? And actually, Acts chapter 3, verse number 12, New Living says, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel said, what is so surprising about this? Why are you so shocked? Why are you shocked? Because this is Jesus. All right, he goes, and why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who brought glory to this servant. His servant Jesus, by doing this. It wasn't about them, it was about Jesus. See, many people think, well, I have to do something. No, you need to let Jesus do something. If you let him do something, you know, and people say, well, Craig, I'm scared. I mean, I don't know what to do. Well, what you do is you open your mouth and you let Jesus change somebody's life. Well, how do you do that? Just give them Jesus. See, the first thing out of Peter's mouth was, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, I know many times you've seen me do a prayer line. You know what I say most of the time? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. It's not about me, it's about him. You know, we have too many Christians, ministers or whatever, thinking it's about their ministry, you know, how they are the best soul winner in the world. No, Jesus is. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about you reaping any kind of reward. Anyway, going back to going down to verse 16, here's Peter still talking to these guys and said, man, I don't know why you guys are so amazed. I mean, Jesus is still operating today just like he did whenever he was there on earth. And you know what? Nothing's changed. The same Jesus that walked the earth is the same Jesus that dwells on the inside of us. And it's now up to us to let that Jesus out by giving what we got, because we have so much. Verse 16 says this, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Now, he was trying to tell you know what? That same faith that this man had is the same faith that you could have. And if you'll just believe in Jesus, it'll change your life. Now, remember, this whole thing started because two guys decided to go to a prayer meeting at church. And on their way to the prayer meeting, they paid attention to someone who was hurting. They didn't even ask for healing. They was asking for money, but said, you know, guy, I don't have any money, but I got something for you. Now, here's something else. You realize that that guy could have turned away. As soon as they said, I don't have any money, he could have said, oh, I'll find someone who has money. I don't have anything to do. But he didn't, because you know what? They looked intently into their eyes. You know, it's something. Sometimes we need to lock eyes with people. I actually, yesterday, I was talking to somebody, and like, they're like, man, your eyes just became like I mean, my eyes are already blue, but it came like, you know, I actually gave them, you know, things the Lord has been telling me. And he said, when you did that, your eyes became very, very blue. It looked like, you know, and you know, I went back and I actually told him the story about my grandfather. When he saw Jesus, he said he saw pools of living love. You know, if we start looking at people, start noticing people, we can change their life because we can just give them Jesus. And, and it's not up to you to do anything. It's all up to you just to proclaim Christ. But I want to go to Acts 4. I'm going to finish this. Acts chapter 4, verse number 4. So here they were. This man got his life changed, and then they were able to talk to people about Jesus. So, you know, some people didn't like it. The Acts 4:1, it says, when they were talking, the priests and the captain of the temple guard, they came and they were very disturbed. They were disturbed because Peter and John were giving them Jesus. But what was the outcome of one man's life being changed? Well, verse 4, Acts 4:4 says, but many, not everybody, but many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. 5,000 people gave their heart to Jesus because one guy got healed. That one guy would have never got healed if Peter and John didn't know what they have and weren't willing to give it. Just changing one person's life can change so many lives. Now, 5,000, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, because we just counted, because we've taken some seats out here and we made our rows wider because people are bigger or whatever. I'm getting smaller, but you might be getting bigger. I don't know. And so if we open the whole balcony and we put everyone here, you know, cheek to cheek, you know, the squishy, you know, what was the Rhema Scooch, or what do we call it? Rhema Scooch. We can fit about 4,000 people in this, but we actually have men and women and children sitting in our pews, because you know it said 5,000 men, but it didn't say how many women or children might have been there. So more people than we can fit in this auditorium. Now we can fit more people because we have stage and we can, you know, but that's, I'm trying to give you how many 5,000. Now, why did those 5,000 people's life get changed? Because two guys were willing to give what they had. Changed one guy's life, and because of that testimony, that opened the door for them to preach the gospel, and 5,000 lives changed because two guys were willing to give one what they have. So my question this morning to you, are you willing to give people what you have? And it's not hard. It's not hard to give people Jesus. I didn't say you have to heal people. I didn't say you have to set people free. I said you let Jesus touch them. And if you want to know more about the power and name of Jesus, I encourage you to go out and get one of those books, or both those books, or a bunch of other books, or just read the Bible for yourself. You know, Google the name of Jesus scriptures or whatever. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. You know, and I hope today that this little message will help us not to be so selfish, but be willing to give what we have. How many are here sitting here today and you're saying, you know what, Craig, I haven't been giving what I have, and I want to go on record. I want to say I'm committed to do better, to look at people more intently and to give what I have, because I'm going on record to say, you know what, I'm going to try to be less concerned about my cell phone and my virtual world and more concerned about people that are outside my Walmart, outside the mall, you know, even outside the church, because you know what? Maybe someone came to church today and they've been going through a tough time and you know, they were hurting, you know, and maybe just saying hi and being friendly would change them. How many of you say, I'm committed to giving what I have more? Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's in this room, and each and every person watching online. But Father, help us to realize what we have on the inside, that we have the true living God on the inside of us. And the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of us is life-changing to people. And Father, help us to be a blessing to this world. Help us to be a light to this nation. Help us to give what we have, and help us not to be afraid, but help us to have boldness. Boldness to step out and to just give people what we have. Father, we just thank you for these that raised their hand and said, I'm committed. I'm committed to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm committed to give people Jesus. Too many people are giving people hell, but we should be committed to giving people Jesus, and because he wants to change lives. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there something you want to sing? Go ahead. You know, something we need to realize that's not just for us to break our chains, but it's to break every chain. The chains that are binding people, the chains that are holding people back. Go out and make a difference in this world. Go out and help people. Go out and give people what you have. What you have is you have the supernatural power of God living on the inside of you. It's always there, all the time, no matter where you are, no matter what you're around, no matter whether you're preaching from a pulpit or walking into a church building or at work, doesn't matter. That same power is there on the inside. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Heavenly Father, we thank you if anyone is here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they don't know about the name of Jesus. If you're there here in this room and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus and I want to this morning, you can. You can have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can have that same power on the inside of you. If you're here this morning, you say, I've never been saved. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away. But today, this morning, I want to rededicate myself to Jesus. If you're in this room, you say, Craig, I've never been saved. Or I want to rededicate myself to Jesus. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Anybody here? Anyone here that says I need to be saved? There's a hand over there. Thank you. Or I want to rededicate myself to God. There's a hand there. Thank you. Anybody else? You know, I tell you what, I mean, I just feel that there's some of us here that we need to rededicate ourselves to we just kind of been messing around, but if there's anyone that wants to rededicate themselves, or maybe you have what my grandfather called a know-so experience, you don't know whether you're saved or not, but you can know this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never been filled with the Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Spirit and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never got a hold of that extra endowment from power from on high, I encourage you this morning, let's do that. Anyone here that wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to thank you. I see the hands, see a couple of hands. All right, I'm going to ask you that lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. If you meant business with Jesus, whether it be salvation the first time, rededication, or infilling of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come down here and we want to pray with you. So if you lifted your hand for prayer, or if you didn't lift your hand for prayer and you know you should have lifted your hand, I know there's some people out there that know they should have lifted their hand but they didn't do it, come down here anyway. Come down here anyway and we want to minister to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus is waiting with open just as you are.
guys are down here, whether it be salvation, whether it be rededication, whether it be infilled with the Holy Spirit, you came for a gift. You know, every time I think about gifts, I think about Christmas. And, you know, when we have Christmas, our parents or whoever usually put gifts under a tree and it says, to Craig from Mom and Dad. You know, and I can't ever wait for, we actually open our presents on Christmas Eve, but, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, whenever you open, to open that present becomes a reality in our life. Well, that gift is for you. It's been under the tree, and today you get to open up the gift that belongs to you, and it becomes a reality in your life. You know, so what I want you to do is I want you to lift one hand toward heaven. I don't care which is your right or left, doesn't matter. And I want you, by doing that, you're signifying, I'm taking hold of the gift of God that God has for me. And I'm going to pray with you right here. Then after I pray with you right here, we're going to send you to a place and they're going to pray with you more. They're going to give you some material. They're going to give you some instruction and they're going to make sure you got the gift. Father God, we just thank you right now for these precious gentlemen. And we thank you, Father, for saving them. We thank you, Father, for filling them with the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, for their lives. We thank you for forgiving them for their sins. Father God, we thank you for ministering to them like never before. And we thank you that they have a gift from God that belongs to them, Father. And Father, we thank you that their life will never, ever, ever be the same again after today. And we thank you, Father, for touching them. And we thank you, Father, for giving them boldness to go out and share their gift with the lost and dying and hurting world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Will you guys turn with me? This is Dave. Can you follow him? And he wants to pray with you more and make sure you got the gift that you came for. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God, amen? You know, it's all about changing lives. Changing one man's life could change 5,000 other people's life and even more. If you're willing to give what you have, we can change the world through the name of Jesus. Let's stretch our hands out toward these fine gentlemen. Father God, we just thank you for their life. We thank you for their commitment or recommitment to God. We thank you for filling them with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for just everything you're doing in their life. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you're watching online, first of all, we want to thank you for joining with us, and we're glad to have you, you know, here. If you're here in this building and you're a first-time guest, I want you to go to with our team, and we have a gift we want to give you. So can you go with our team, and they're going to take you out to the north lobby, and they're going to give you a special gift. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. So your homework, not just for this week, but for the rest of your life, is to go out and give people what you have. Amen. Well, the pastors are going to the door. I know I'm going to be at the north door, and you can see where everybody else is going. And so Brother Dan will dismiss you. God, but don't forget tonight. Tonight we're going to talk more about, I mean, it was life-changing for these youth, and not just the youth. I think the leaders got more changed than some of the youth did. And, I mean, come back tonight. We're going to pray for whatever we're going to pray for. I don't know. And we're going to hear about what God did and what God's doing among our young people. Amen. Praise God.